Begin our discussion of Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim. The halacha is that if you look in Shulchan Aruch, that when we split up when we have two parshas on one Shabbos, we have to split it up exactly equal. We have to have 3.5 aliyos in each parsha. Right, so that's why Revi'i is the aliyah that starts off in the first parsha and goes through the second parsha. That's to be equality, 3.5 and 3.5. So tonight, Ezrat Hashem, we will have three Divrei Torah on each of the parshios, plus one on the Haftorah, which kind of relates to both, so we could be Yotzi the 3.5. As we'll see, there is something unique about the Haftorah of this Shabbos that doesn't apply elsewhere. Okay, so let's start off with a thought just about the name of the first parsha, Achrimos. Right, so the pasuk of Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lamar, the pasuk says Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. After the death of the sons of Aaron, when they came close in front of Hashem Vayemusu and they died, and Hashem gives Aaron a Kohen the command of the Avoda of Yom HaKippurim, the Avoda of Yom Kippur. But colloquially, we call this Parsha Achrei. Parsha's Achrei, Parsha's Achreimos. That's not the most beautiful, the Parsha has nothing to do with Achreimos. Right? It has to do with Yom Kippur, it has to do with other halachos, and yet Achreimos, the name was the name that merited throughout the generations is what we call it. So what is unique? What it's after Achrei, after the other names, Noah, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Hashem saw the Malachim. Every parsha has something special. Even Boak and Yisro. So that captures an idea. But what idea is meant by Achrei, after Aaron's sons died? What was unique about that event? That what's the message that we learn from after their death? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, his first source. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the new beautiful set of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Divrei Torah on Chumash. So this is from that set. Achrei means after, as in the opening verse of our parsha. Hasidic thought explains that Aaron's sons did not die because they were wicked and transgressed God's will. Again, many pshatim exactly what the chait was. Right, discussed Parsha Shmini, we discussed it a little bit, which we didn't get to discuss, that was right after Yantif. But there are many different pshatim in Chazal and in the Rishonim, what exactly their chait was, which is, all it says in the Torah is that they brought a strange fire to God. So all the different pshatim that the Mefarshim give. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it wasn't that they were wicked, or they did something wicked. Rather, they were righteous individuals who wanted to come closer to God. But this yearning became so strong that it reached the point where they no longer wished to continue a normal bodily existence, which makes a person feel distant from his Maker, and they simply expired. They felt so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they felt, I want to be totally ruchani. I want to be totally spiritual. I want to be like a malach, they felt. And the problem is, what was the problem then? What's so negative about that feeling? Shouldn't we always strive for spirituality? At first glance, he continues, it might appear that the yearning of Nadav Avihu to come closer to God was misplaced, as God clearly doesn't want us to die out of love for Him. In truth, however, Nadav Avihu's desire to come close to God and leave their bodily existence was entirely appropriate to have on a temporary basis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, wants us to feel spiritual, wants us to feel, Hashem, I just want to be closer to You and closer to You, and feel my limitations based on the fact that I'm a Basar Vadam. We have to have these types of moments of inspiration. But their fault was, they wanted to be there permanently. They wanted to be in the spiritual realms. They didn't want to bring it back down to their earthly, physical, mundane existence. Their fault was in their inability to redirect those energies back into normal everyday life after a period of heightened spiritual arousal. In other words, and he continues beautifully in the next column, if a person does not have times when he simply wishes to leave the confines of corporeal existence, if we never feel like we want to jump out of our skin and get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're lacking in a certain way. But on the other hand, when a person does have these feelings, he must eventually come to the realization that God placed him in this world for a purpose, which necessitates his soul remaining in his body. The purpose of life is not to be a malach. The purpose of life is to use my spiritual feelings to sanctify my physical life. So the intense spirituality of Nadav and Avihu was actually a good thing, from which we should all learn. The fact that they failed to channel their love of God back down to earth was indeed a fault. But that does not mean that we can not learn from what they did. And that is why he says The parsha is called Acharei, because after the death, now we know and we appreciate what exactly the high standard that we have to have. We have to learn from them. After their death, we could still learn from their death. Even though it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu shot them down, but we could still learn from them to do something in the positive realm. So what do we learn from them? We have to have those spiritual highs. We have to feel that closeness to Hashem, but then we have to bring it back down to earth. It's a fascinating Gemara that also expresses this as well. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis, you have in source number 2. The Gemara says, the first part of it is famous, the second one is not as famous. The Mishnah says in Meseches Brachas that Chassidim Rishonim used to prepare for davening for an hour. Before davening, they used to prepare for davening. Shoim Shah Achas Umispalim. So we could all understand that. I understand, you have to prepare for davening, you have to get into the right frame of mind. But the Gemara adds on. Minon immediately after the Gemara adds in source number 2, you have to have a pasuk, Asher Yeshev Yisecha. But then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi adds, HaMispalel Sorech L'shal Shah Achas Achar Tfilaso. Not only an hour before davening, but an hour after davening. Why would we need an hour after davening? Tani Namiyachi, the Bryce also says it. HaMispalel Tzorach Sheyisha Shah Achas Kodem Tfilaso V'Shah Achas Achar Tfilaso. And the Gemara goes, Psukim. So ask many of them a first, I can understand why you need an hour before davening to get ready for davening, to get in the mood. What do you need to stay an extra hour for davening? After davening. You finish davening, you leave. Why? Okay, don't rush out of davening. Wait till davening finishes. You don't have to take off your tefillin during Avodah Zarah. We can wait till after Aleinu, after the Yom. But more than that, so says, Wamsha might be exactly our point. By davening, we reach such a spiritual high. We're talking to the Almighty, right? A first person. We're talking right to Hashem. But then we got to bring it back into our lives. We got to think about the messages and have the ability to say, I'm not going to remain up to Baruch Adonai Hashem. I'm not lifting Hashem always. But I'm going to bring, in the intense way, but I'm going to bring that back into my life. That's the message of not only an hour before davening, but an hour after davening, what Nadav and Aviyu didn't want to do. And Alpi Kabbalah, that's what many sources say, is the message of Isru Chag. What's Isru Chag? Okay, today we don't say Tachnun. Wonderful. An extra day. So what's Isru Chag about? So again, a number of explanations given, but one is this exact idea, when we have such a spiritual high on Yontif, it's hard for us to leave that. So we need some time to slowly, bring it back into our lives. Sorry? It's like Malava Malka. Exactly, Malava Malka. We have all of these ideas. And one final idea where we see this. I didn't give it to you, but if you look in the Chumash, the end of Parshas Vayera. Of course, the last parak in Parshas Vayera is the Akedah. Akedas Yitzchak. And the Parsha, though, does not end with Akedas Yitzchak. The Akedas Yitzchak is a tremendous high of the Jewish people, but if you look at the last few psukim of Parshas Vayera, there are a few added psukim where Avram Avinu goes back to his life. Very mundane, down-to-earth psukim. And it's somewhat of a letdown from the Akedah. The whole parak of the Akedah, and then you have these few very mundane psukim. What exactly are these? So why are these extra psukim at the end of Parshas Vayera? So I heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, it's exactly the point that we're saying. The Akedah was such a monumental moment in the history of the Jewish people. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, ready to give his life. So why there's such ordinary mundane psukim? Avram didn't leave it on the mountain. Avram didn't leave it on the Akedah. Avram brought it back into his life, into his ordinary, mundane, everyday psukim. Avram Avinu didn't leave it there. That's why, that's the ultimate. Parshas Vayera doesn't end with the Akedah. It ends with Avram Avinu walking back into his life. That's the first idea. That was the message of Acharei from Nadav and Aviyu. That's the message of Isru Chag. That's the message of Shah Achas La'achar Hatfila. And that's the message of the end of Parshas Vayera. As we continue, as we know, the first section of Parshas Acharemos is all about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the laning of Yom Kippur morning, the Avodah of Yom Kippur. To focus on one pasuk, which then was going to relate to the entire parsha. Pasuk Beis says, Hashem says to Moshe to tell Aaron, Daber el Aaron. Sorry, let me just find it here. Daber el Aaron, Achicha val yava b'chaleis al kodesh. Tell your brother Aaron he should not go in b'chaleis at all times to the kodesh. be beis la paroches al pnei akavaras asher al rovelo yamus. He shouldn't go in all the time. Ki be'anon ira al akavaras. Aaron should not go in all the time. Bizos yavo Aaron al kodesh. With this, with the following avoda, Aaron will go in. Befar ben bakar lachadas vayel ola the par the chadas the ola. And the parsha goes on to describe the entire avodas Yom Kippurim. What is amazing, notes the Vilna Gaon, the word Yom Kippur is not mentioned all the way at the end of the parak. At the end of the parak, after the whole discussion of the Seir Lashem, the Seir Lazazel, all the way at the end in Pasach Chavtes, v'haisa lachem l'chukas olam b'chodesh ashvi b'asa l'chodesh, ta'anuas nafshosechem, b'chom olacha lo sasu, chaviyom azeh yechaper aleichem. It doesn't even say it beferish. This is a chok and you fast. Why doesn't it start off by saying this is what you do on Yom Kippur? Why didn't Moshe tell Aaron? Why didn't Hashem tell Moshe tell Aaron this is what you do on Yom Kippur? So says the Vilna Gaon, quoted by other sources as well. Somewhat of a well-known Vilna Gaon. If you're medayik in the psukim, source number 3, Aaron HaKohen was not limited to Yom Kippur. Says the Gra. Amnam, line 8, based on Midrashim. He says it's based on Midrashim. Line 11, let's start. Yesh eis la'yom, yesh eis la'shana, yesh eis la'olam. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Sorry, skipping. Ela b'chol shah shirotza li'kanes yikanes. Rakshi yikanes b'seder hazeh. Says the Gra, Aaron HaKohen could have gone into the Kodesh Kadashim whenever he wanted, as long as he did this avoda. What did the Pesukim say? Bizos yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. With this avoda, you're right. Later, Kohanim Gedolim will only be allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. But Aaron HaKohen was special. He was the first. He was the first Kohen Gadol. He had a unique status. And says the Gra, the Pashas of the Psukim is, he was not limited to Yom Kippur. Mashma Mizesh Adafka Shar Kohanim Gedolim Asurim Likanis Lakodesh Kadashim. Only other Kohanim Gedolim were limited. Milvad Yom Kippurim. Aval Aaron, Hayamutu Likanis Bechal Shah Vashah, but Aaron could go in whatever he wanted. Rakshi Kanis Keseder Avoda Hamur Beparsha Hazos. That's the Chiddush of the Pashas of the Psukim. And says the girl, with this you understand. Lefi Zeh line 18. Matok Ma'od Pshata Parsha. If you look throughout these Psukim, Shukin Bakala Parsha Loniskar Kiyim Aaron. The focus of this whole section is Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. Usually you have Aaron or any Kohen Acharav, or any Kohen Gadol that follows him. Yet here, this whole parasha is Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. Why? Because it's unique to Aaron. Aaron could do this any day that he wanted. Aaron wants to go in on the middle of Teves, middle of Kislev, no problem. Bezos Yav Aaron al Kodesh. Even though later Kohanim Gedolim would be limited. That is the thought of the Gra. He continues on the next page as well. He explains this is why there might be some differences between how we do the avoda on a regular Yom Kippur and how it's recorded in the Torah Shebichsav. Because again, that was specifically about Aaron HaKohen, not exactly about other Kohanim Gedolim. But what the Gra doesn't explain is why Aaron was different. So Aaron HaKohen had the power to go into the Kodesh Kodashim any day of the year, whenever he wanted. Why? So he was the first. But what makes that? What? So Elazar was the second. So what makes Aaron different? So now enter Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma takes this Gra and then explains why Aaron was different. Says the Meshech Chachma in Source 5. First quoting the Medrash. B'Medrash Amalak Adish Baruch Hu Moshe. Lo Kishem Sha'ata Savur. Not like you think. Right? Lo Eis L'Shav, Lo Eis L'Yom, Lo Eis L'Shana. Not once. In a while, Ella Bachol Shashu, who wrote Silikanis Silikanis. Whenever Aaron wanted to go in, he could go in. Rakshi Kanis Peseder Azet, right? Aaron would have to bring the Seir Lazazel and the Seir Lashem and do everything if he wants to go into the Kodesh Kadashim. And then he quotes Sefer Gavia HaKesef Huva B'Shem Magra, Da Aaron Hayayachol Likanis Tamid Peseder Azet, Aaron could go in whenever he wanted. Rakshe Banav, Lo Hayu Rasham Rak B'Yom HaKippurim. Right? His children can only go in on Yom Kippur. Why? Viniskal La Taimo? You got to look in the Svarno to understand the Meshech Chachma. Rav Kuperman, who was put out as my wife tells me, that he considered the Meshech Chachma a mace mitzvah, and therefore he felt obligated to come out with an edition of the Meshech Chachma that makes it readable and understandable for the Hamon Am. The amazing work that he did. So he writes in many notes there that the Meshech Chachma was influenced by the Sfarno in many of his pshatim. Many times when he doesn't even say it. Here, he quotes the Sfarno. But there's a connection many times between the Meshech Chachma and the Sfarno. So says the Meshech Chachma, this gra that Aaron could go in whenever he wanted could be understood based on the Sfarno's pshat at the end of Emor. What does the Sfarno say? Hasha kasuv biktores ubahatava Aaron. Why does it say by the ktores, the avoda of the ktores, specifically in Emor, Aaron HaKohen, mishum sheba'osan arbaim shana, during those 40 years in the Midbar, Haya ha'anan shore ala mishkan yomam v'layla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina stayed on the Mishkan. It rested there. It was always there constantly. Right, what does it say at the end of Parshas Kisisa? Right, the Anan came down, Moshe was shining, right, the Bnei Yisrael couldn't get close. The Anan was there. Ukamosha kasav ki Anan Hashem ala mishkan yomam v'esh tia layla bo. V'lachin ba'avoda shebehechol shesham haya Anan Hashem. So in the Heichal, where the Anan was always, Hayadino Osar Barim Shana Kamo B'yom HaKippurim. It wasn't specifically, explains the Meshech Chachma using the Sfarno, it wasn't specifically Aaron, but it was that time period in the Midbar. It wasn't that Aaron was unique, but that's not the reason that he had this power. The reason was that Hashem's presence resided every day. Just like we know that on Yom Kippur, Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there in a unique way. So the Gemara says, "Dirshu Hashem behi matzo kara'u biosa karav." Call Hashem when He is there more than any other day. And the Gemara even says, "You think this is a Zachronish Torah?" The Gemara says in Yuma that Hasatan, the gematria of Hasatan, is 364. Because there's one day a year the sun has no power. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Kadosh Baruch Hu is there in Olam Hazeh, and that's Yom Kippur. Hashem is always there. So Yom Kippur Bizman Hazeh is just, it was the state of Yom Kippur every day in the times of the Midbar. Because Hashem's presence was always close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's true, so Aaron could go whenever he wanted. Aaron didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Kishakasavoki ba'anan erel akapores. V'divrei pichacham chen. He quotes the Sfarno. And that now he relates it. V'lachen kalos anabarim shana. Therefore, all those 40 years, says the Meshech Chachma, ha'yelo rishus likanis b'seid erazeh. He had rishus to go in this order. Kamo kohen gadol b'yom HaKippurim. And that's what he says. That's why only at the end of the parsha, putting all together, not until the last pasuk in the whole section do we have any inkling that this is talking about Yom Kippur. It's amazing. The first 28 pasukim of the parsha talk about avodas Yom Kippurim. It does not mention Yom Kippur. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's the point. Because when Moshe gave Aaron these commands, it wasn't limited to Yom Kippur. At the end, this that you do every day, that you can do every day, they're going to do this on Yom Kippur in the future. Aaron did it, but it was in the 40, it was at the end. He was Nifter and Av. So there was one, you're saying there was one Yom Kippur. There was one Yom Kippur.
Aaron. The day after Aaron died, there was still Aaron.
Right. Excellent. According to this Svara, exactly. According to the Svara, the Chor, yes. According to the Svara.
Wait, but what was the Svara in the Midbar? Wasn't it the
Aaron? No, there was the Be'er.
The Be'er was Miriam, wasn't it?
The Be'er was Miriam. The Moshe had the Mun. And the Anan was Aaron. Oh. So the Anan, when Aaron died, the Anan was Bezchus Aaron. So the Anan might have left. So even though there was from Av to Nisan, right, the only yard site recorded in the Torah, Rosh Chodesh Av, is Aaron's yard site. The only yard site, Beferish. Zion Adar, we do the math. But it doesn't say it Beferish in the Torah. We know that from when the month stopped and say for Yoshua, that's the only yard site. So right, oh, beautiful. So what about after Aaron died? The answer is no, because then the Anan left as well. Okay. Wait, what's that? No. Now I'm just going back and forth. Didn't it say that even after he died, it might have stayed Bezchus Moshe, but when Moshe died, they all left? I think there's a chazal like that. That even though it was Bezchus Aaron, it might have stayed. I don't remember. Might be discussions. Savim Kid, Afala. Oh, right. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Right, let's continue for a second. So, Azkal Yisrael Kamalachay Asharis, Vim Kaparo, Vim Kin Afel Yezer, Achrei Moso, Hailo Rishus Kane. Right, so. L'chor, he said that, or he might have said that theoretically had the Anan stayed. I don't know if he'd be Medaik so much there, but either way, at least we know the Svar for it. Okay, either way, that is the uniqueness of Aaron HaKohen, and that is the Gra and the Meshech Chachma based on the Svarno. Good. As we said, we have to have equal time, so 3 and 3. Let's have a third thought related to Parshas Achrimos. This thought I heard from Rabbi Bernstein, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, I mentioned in the past, and the neighbor of Rabbi Meir Shapiro. Let's put three Gemaras together, and we'll have a problem. As we know, one of the unique avodos that was done on Yom Kippur, right, the major part of Achremos, was special avodos hadam, special actions with blood, either of the par or of the sa'ir, inside the heichal. Usually blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach achitza, on the outer large mizbeach, either the bottom part of it, the top part of it, but on Yom Kippur, and a few other times, via the karbanos, you sprinkle inside the heichal. Where do you sprinkle? So, it's not 100% clear from the psukim, you sprinkle near the curtain, that near the paroches, that separates the heichal from the Kodesh Kodashim. There is a machlokes in Meseches Yuma Daf Nun Zayin, whether this blood was sprinkled directly on the curtain, or just towards the curtain. On the curtain, or towards the curtain. Says the Gemara in Yuma Daf Nun Zayin, Tana, Kishihu maze, eino maze al haparoches, ela kineged haparoches. The Tanakhama says it wasn't on the curtain. It was towards the curtain. But it wasn't right. We say, achas lamal, v'shev lamata, all of those. Are you going on the curtain or towards the curtain? So the Tanakhama says, it was towards the curtain. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi, ani re'isiha baromi. Elazar bar Yossi says, no, I saw the paroches in Rome. V'hayu aleha kama tipe damim. And there was blood on it. Shel parvis sa'ir shel yom ha'kipurim. There was blood on it for the karbanis. It's not going to say it was towards. It was on it. I saw the paroches, says Rabbi Elazar bar Yossi. And then they say, how do you know which carbon it was? Okay, because he saw a certain order, a certain way the drops were lying. But either way, he says, it had to be on it, not towards it. That's one gemar. There's another gemar. This gemar is in Me'ila Daf Yud Zayin, Amabez, where the gemar gives the background, when was he in Rome, and how did he see the parochas? Right, we know, right? We have the Mesorah, that Rome. We don't need Titus's arch to be a riot for us. The Gemara talks about it. Where it talks about how certain kalim were carried away from the Mikdash after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and says the Gemara in Me'ila the following story. There was a certain shade, there was a certain demon that went into the daughter of one of the Caesars. So the Gemara, the Ben Tamalion is the name of the shade. So Yazak also Ben Tamalion, Rizon Chamavoy Machen. So the Gemara tells the story. Let's go to line 6. Amar Ben Tamalion say, Ben Tamalion say. So they call, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Oh, but Barati the Kesar, right? He went in, the shade went into the daughter of the Kesar, and it was making her crazy. So Kimata Hasam, so they called Rebbe Lazar Rabbi Yossi, who was an expert in terms of exorcising demons from people. He was known. So Amar Ben Tamalion say, get out. Fekiva de Karli Nafak. Oh. So he left using some magical powers. So Azal, so Amalahon, She'ilu Koma de Islachon Lemishal, says, whatever you want, I'll give you, says the Caesar. And he went into the treasure house to find any treasure that he wanted to take. Ashkechu ahu igra shaklu v'karuhu. And he found certain kalim. He saw certain things there. V'haynu damar abazar abyosi. I was in Rome and I saw the curtain. So he found what he saw, but he also saw the curtain there. So that's with the background that he saw. That he's seen the curtain. And that's why he says it had to be that it was sprinkled on the paroches and on the front of the paroches. The problem that Rav Meir Shapiro asked is a third Gemara. A Gemara in Gittin, which we're familiar with from Tisha B'Av. There's a whole kina about this. The Gemara there tells the tragic story of what Titus did when he came into the Beis HaMikdash. Right, based on a pasuk in the end of Dvarim, second line of source number 8, Zet Titus HaRasha, She Chireif V'Gidev Klapei Mala, who blasphemed and cursed Hashem. Ma also, what did he do? Tafa zona biyada, we took a woman, the nichnas the base kachia kadashim, Rahman al Islani went into the Kodesh Kadashim, the Hitziya Sefer Torah, he laid out a Sefer Torah in the Kodesh Kadashim, v'avra le'aveira. And he did an aveira on the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh Kadashim. The Natal Sayif, and after that he took a sword, the Gider es haparoches, and he speared the paroches. The Na'aseh Neis, and a miracle occurred, V'hayadam mevatzpeitz v'yotzei. Blood started spurting out of the curtain, of the paroches. V'kesavar haragaz atzmo. And in a euphemism way, he thought he killed God. Oh. He's bleeding. I killed him. Shenamar, and he quotes a pasuk. That's the Gemara. Amazingly tragic, tragic story. Ask Rav Meir Shapiro. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi went to Rome and saw blood on the parochas, and therefore he says it must be that the karbanos' blood was thrown onto the parochas. But 1 minute. Maybe it was the blood from Titus' story. Who says it was the blood from the karbanos? How did he know which blood it was? It's good kasha. How did he know if this story happened during the korban? He saw it after the korban. How did he know which blood it was? First of all, to have shas on your fingertips, to ask the kasha, about how could he prove it from there, Yuma, Me'ila, Gittin, you got to have it all in front of you. Right? He didn't just do Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro. He might have come up with the idea of Daf Yomi, but he had it. So says Rav Meir Shapiro, what you must say is that it was the same blood. It was the same blood. What does that mean? It was a bizayon. It would have been a bizayon, says Amir Shapiro in the pshat of the Tana, to sprinkle the parochas with blood and it stayed like that. And that's how it would look to the kohanim that came into the menorah. It would look dirty. They cleaned the base of Mikdash every day. They swept it out with water. It's not pretty to have blood all over the place and stain there. So it must be that Bederech Nes, when they sprinkled on the curtain, it was magically absorbed into the parochas. When Titus speared the paroches, what happens? The Kedusha left. The Shechina left! Right? As Titus wouldn't have been able to do what he did. So the Shechina left. Once the Shechina leaves, the blood comes out. There's no more Shechina there that's holding up the Nes. So it's really the same Dam. How did he know it was this Dam? It was that Dam? It was the same Dam, says Rav Meir Shapiro. And that's how Rav Lazar Rav Yossi could prove that you have to sprinkle the Dam onto the paroches, because it's all the same dam. L'chora, he knew that story. Titus probably made it's famous, the story in those days. So he knew about it, and he still said this, because this is what he must have thought, that this was the dam that was absorbed, that then came out when he pierced it. Avkan, Parshas Achrimos. Now let's switch over to Parshas Kedoshim. Start off with something famous. First you have the Parshas Shir, so at least do it. Again, it's a thought that we can review every year because it's that crucial to our lives. And that is the first Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim. Rashi, first, the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, of course we have the pasuk of Kedoshim Tihiyu. We shall be holy. Be a holy nation. Kedoshim Tihiyu. Rashi says, what is Kedoshim Tihiyu? A very limited, specific tzivui. What does it say? Havi prushim min ha'arayus u'min ha'aveira. A kadosh, many times in the Torah, means separated. Hashem is kadosh, that means he's separated, he's parush, and he's holy. Very limited understanding of the pasuk, says Rashi. Says the Ramban, there are many other mitzvos and aveiras that relate to our kedusha and our prushim min ha'arayus. I think this pasuk is saying something different, and saying something basic, and saying something that it's an overarching principle for us to learn. And this is the Ramban Lashitaso, just by the way, the Ramban does this to many psukim throughout the Torah, which seem to be somewhat general psukim. The Ramban says the same similar idea on the Pasuk of Vasisa Yashav HaTov, in Pashas Vaschanan. The Ramban says a similar idea by Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, also in Sefer Dvarim. Whenever you have these general type of psukim, the Ramban picks up on them and uses them as messages for life. So says the Ramban here in source number 9, V'ha inyan, I think Kedoshim Tihiyu is telling you us a major principle. Ki atora hishira ba'arayos u'b'machalam asurim. The Torah has a litany of mitzvos and averos, of things that we're allowed to eat and we're not allowed to eat, and women we can marry and we can't marry. V'hitira habia ish ki ish b'ish tov achilas abasar v'ayayin. And the Torah gives us allowances in every area of life. Right? We don't believe that we are supposed to be celibate. We don't believe in what other religions believe. We're supposed to eat as little as possible, and we're supposed to we're not supposed to be social. We spoke a little bit about last week in Parshas Yemitzora about being social, but just conquering and being mekadesh our speech. We're not supposed to be silent and not have a regular life. We're supposed to be involved. There's heter. There's an allowance in every physical area. Im Kain, But if that's true, says the Ramban, Yimtza bal hataiva makom liyoshatu pezimas ishto unashav arambos. A person could, without violating any avera, not act like a very spiritual being, and not act in a quote-unquote Torah way. V'lios besova yayin v'zoli basalamo. I'll have wine and meat three times a day, and a man will be with his wife three times a day, and he'll be yadaber kirtzon b'chol nevalos, and he won't speak properly. So who's kareiser zeh b'Torah? Where does it say that's usher in the Torah? Rabbi, show me where in the Shulchan Aruch this is usher. Show it to me. It's one of those gray areas, right? One of those grays, right? Now, where does it say it? V'hine yihyeh, he has this famous phrase, naval birshus ha-Torah. A person could be a disgusting person with the license of the Torah. Birshus ha-Torah. U'lefichach bo ha-kasav. Therefore, the Torah, says the Ramban, said, after Achremos, after so many mitzvahs, you know what the Torah says? Kedoshim tiyu. V'tziva b'davar klali sheniyu prushim min ha-mosaros. The Torah allows you to do a lot, but you know what? Still be a holy person. How would God want you to act in this situation? We have allowances, but we have to know how to use them. We have to use them in a proper way, continuing where it's underlined, V'yikadish atzmo menayayin b'miyuto, k'mo sh'akara kasev, ha-nazir kadosh, a-nazir is kadosh, yafesh min ha-tuma, and all these, this is what the Ramban says, after all the mitzvahs we have, kedoshim tiyu. He quotes also at the end, the pasuk of Asisa Yashav Atov. The Ramban gives an example. Let's say I'm selling my field. There's a halacha in Maseches Baba Metzia at the end called Dina de Bar Mitzra. The halacha of the border owner. What does that mean? If I'm selling my field, I'm supposed to ask the guy who lives next door, does he want to buy my land first? Right? I'm not supposed to sell to somebody who lives somewhere else. Why? Because the guy next door, and I'm getting the same price, the guy next door could use it. He can now have a double area. It's much more useful to him. Is that a mitzvah? Is that an avera? That's for Asisa HaYashav HaTov. What would be expected in this situation? Right, it's a similar idea that we know from Rashi and Sefer Bereishis. What did Yosef Avinu, he has Potiphar, Dmus Diokno Shel Aviv, is in his window. What would my father want me to do here? What would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do here? Kedoshim Tihu is besides any specific prat of a mitzvah and avera, we have to be a Kadosh, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do.
It's a beautiful thought, but it seems to me it's also a thought Nevertheless, still not kadosh. We're not
right.
Leaving a kadosh.
Correct. Kadosh, kadosh, kadoshim tihu.
So
the Ramban would agree and would emphasize that kadoshim tihu is only after the 613. If you're going to violate any of the 613 by trying to be a kadosh, that means you're not a kadosh. So kadoshim tihu is an overarching added, but I can't make up my own kadoshim tihu. First, I have to follow what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. You don't have to. Those are explicit. The Atzal Recha Kamocha is explicit. Many halachas are explicit. Once I do what's explicit, I have to apply those principles to areas where they are not explicit. But that's step one. Step one is what's explicit. That's what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh even says on Bechukosai. Bechukosai Teilechu Vesmisvosai Tishmoru. First, es Bechukosai, the Chukim, what it says, the laws. That's step one. After that, you want Shmira. You want extra Shmiras that you want to do extra. That's only after Mechukos HaTelechu. That's step one. So Rachmana Litzlan, certain among us, we can never skip steps. And if we skip steps, it's probably our whole philosophy might be skewed. Just to add on one thought to that, the Ramban, Rav Elchanan Wasserman says a very, basically the same idea in source number 11, where he discusses the idea of listening to the Rabbanan. The power of listening to the Rabbanan. It says Ubezeh Yuvan Inyan Sasim Asher Batzinu Gzeiros Chachamim Gab Kodem Matan Torah. Not only listening to the Rabbanon is there a mitzvah in the Torah, but we find that there were dinim to Rabbanon even before the Torah was given. Right? The Gemara says in Yuma Avram kept Erev Tafshilin. Erev Tafshilin is it, right? We spoke about it in Beitza. Erev Tafshilin, right? It's going to come up in Eretz Yisrael in a few weeks. Something that hardly ever comes up, right? Friday Shabbos is Shavuos. So Friday, Shavuos, but going into Shabbos. So what kind of din d'rabbanan is there before the Torah was given? So he says that, or he says the idea that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of chinuch. There's a machlokes. Is the mitzvah of chinuch, according to most posts, it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And is it a mitzvah on the child? Is it a mitzvah on the parent? Let's say it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. What, midoraisa, we have no mitzvah to educate our children? Midoraisa, you can let your child do whatever they want. Midrabbanan, they came up with this new idea. You have to educate your child in the proper way. Says Rabbi Chanan, that can't be. Says Rabbi Chanan, the pratim, the details, are drabanan. But the idea of educating our child, obviously, that's Kedoshim Tiyu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He has this quote, Kedoshim Tiyu. But he said, that's obviously what Hashem wants. So, Os Chaf Bey is on the bottom right. The Kol Mashat Sivu Chachamim on a Yodim Shekinu Gam Ratzon Hashem. V'davar Zelatzas B'tzoni Yisparah Kol Bay Olam. If the Rabbanan, who are Malei V'gadush with full with all the 613 and the understanding of them, that if they say something, it's obviously we believe that that is Ratzon Hashem. That is what Hashem wants us to do. And then he even adds, maybe that's pshat in a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that talks about the Churban HaBayis. In the second column, he says, "Ubazef shel afarish kavanas hakasa biYirmiyahu ubanuas bamos habal lesrofes b'neim ba'ish alos labal asher lo tzivisi velo dibarti velo alsa elibi." What did we do wrong? Hashem says they're doing things that I never commanded and I never told them and never went up in my heart. Three phrases: I never commanded, I never told them, and never went up in my heart. Why? What's the three phrases? Says Rabbi Chanan, beautiful. Hinei because of Azem Mefurish ki yesh shlosha chelkei Torah. There are three parts of Torah: Hanikra Tzivui, commanded part, mitzvah; Hanikra Dibur, spoken part; and three, which might not be a mitzvah. A spoken part might be for a certain time period, right? Hashem says, don't go out of your house tonight, right? That only applies during Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach, we can go out of our houses the other nights for the rest of the Doros. But number three, She'ena lav lo tzivi v'lo dibur. Hashem doesn't command or say anything, but it's just olsa alibo. Something that goes up in his heart. Ela ratzon Hashem bilvad. V'heim kol mitzvos d'rabbanan. Those could be the mitzvos d'rabbanan or any example of Kedoshim Tiyu. So that is something that we always have to keep in mind beyond the mitzvahs themselves, but not being a novel bershus hatov. Okay, let's continue now with another Ramban that is somewhat well known, but we'll continue with other sources related to it as well. Now we know we have the famous pasuk in this week's parsha of Yahatzel Recha Kamocha. Again, this parsha which is chock full, Achremoth and Kedoshim, both being chock full, put them together, there are 79 mitzvos that we're going to read the Shabbos. We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. But again, one of the major mitzvos in Kedoshim is Yahatzel Recha Kamocha, which many of the Mefarshim ask, how is that possible? You have to love your friend like yourself? It's impossible. How are we supposed to understand that? You can't love anybody like yourself. We're biased. We're in the center of our lives by, you know, there's no way of getting around that. I could do my best, but how do I fulfill this mitzvah? So there's the Ramban, the top of the page, source 12. You're right. V'tam v'atzorecha kamocha haflaga. What does haflaga mean? Somewhat of an exaggeration. Not to be taken literally. Haflaga means don't take it literally. No, it doesn't mean that, but what does it mean? Well, first he continues, Kilo yikabel leiv ha'adam. It doesn't go on a person's heart. She'yehovas chaveiru ka'avato et nafsho. A person can't love his friend like he loves himself. It's just impossible. Va'od, and not only that, but there's halacha. She'kvar bar b'yikiva v'limin chayecha kovmin l'chayecha vercha. Right? The story, if there's one jug of water, you drink it. You drink it. Chayecha kodmin. So what does v'atzor ha'kamocha mean? Ela mitzvah ha'torah she'yehav chaveiro b'chol inyin kasher yehav es nafsho b'chol hatov. What does v'atzor ha'kamocha mean? It means I want good things to happen to my friend just like I want good things to happen to me. It doesn't mean that my friend is me and when I make money I give it to them because that's impossible, says the Ramban. But it means I should have the same ratzon and ava and not be jealous and not be thinking only of myself. That's what V'yatzor ha'kamocha means. Continuing where it's underlined. Aval yehi chafetz b'libo la'olam shehu yoser mimenu b'chol tova. V'yatzav ha'kazav shlotei p'chisos ha'kino hazos b'libo. Avoyeho barabos hatova lachaveiro kasher adam osa lanafsha. I lived in Borough Park for a number of years, so I might have mentioned this story before. So there was a very holy Jew that sat right behind me named Rabbi Yechiel. Rabbi Yechiel. And he had been a shamish for many years in one of the shuls there. Then now he was retired. So I once went over to him, I was talking to him, and I found out from some of the other rabbanim there that he learned in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. Learned in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. One Shabbos morning after that, I went over to him. I said, and he spoke English. I said, can you tell me some stories. Tell me something about the Chafetz Chaim. Tell me. So he's like, so he says to me, so let me tell you one thing. The Chafetz Chaim was always crying. He was always crying. Always, always crying. When he heard of a simcha about a fellow Jew, somebody had a baby, somebody got engaged, he started crying. He was so happy. He was in their shoes. He started crying. Rahman al-Islam, when he heard of its sorrow, he was also crying. Because the Chafetz Chaim lived v'yahatarecha kamocha. They weren't him, but he felt for them. He felt the Ava. He felt whatever he wanted for himself, he felt for them. Just like we'd cry when we have a simcha. He cried when his neighbor had a simcha. What's the difference? What's the difference? I'm just as happy for them. There's nothing I don't lose if something good happens to them. And I'm pained when something happens to somebody else. When something negative happens to something else. That's this Ramban. V'yahatzorecha kamocha. I have to try to be a little bit like the Chafetz Chaim. Having the simcha and the tzara of a fellow Jew. The Klei Yakar discusses v'yahatzorecha kamocha to explain a Gemara in Shabbos. Daf Lamed Aleph, Gemara that many of us are familiar with. All right, what happened? Shuv Maisa Benachriyacha Shavala Fnei Shammai. A non-Jew comes in front of Shammai. Omar Lei, Gairaini Amasha Talamdeini Kal Torah Kula Kshani Omer Rechalachas. Teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot. Famous Gemara. Right, it takes, even if you don't miss a page of Gemara, it takes 7.5 years. But this convert, potential convert, wanted to learn it all while he stood on one foot. Shammai says, get out of here. You're not a serious convert. Exactly what does that mean? He pushed him away. You know, many mefarshim given. Either way, that was Shammai. Balofnei Hillel Gairei. You can remember Hillel, is it fine? He was Megairim. Right? Omar Lo. And what did he say? What was his message that he said to him while he stood on one foot? Da alech sani lechavrech lo savid. What's hated unto you, don't do to your friend. In other words, the parallel of the Haftal Recha Kamocha. Zui Kala Torah Kula, this is the entire Torah. The Idach and the rest, said Hillel, Pirushahu, that's commentary, Zil Gemar, go learn it. This is the Gemar. The question that is asked is, this was the whole Torah. The Haftal Recha Kamocha was the whole Torah. Why didn't he just quote the Pasuk? It's a good question, not for now. Why did he quote the negative and not the positive? Either way, it's the same idea. So that's the whole Torah. And what does it mean, the rest? The rest is just commentary. How do you get shatnez from V'yahatzel Recha Kamocha? How do you get the Isra of Achilas Dam tomorrow's Parsha V'yahatzel Recha Kamocha? That's commentary. Says the Klei Yakar, Ukefi Anira, the end of line 3, Shager Haya Ger Tzedek V'lo Haya Mahatel Hitulim. The Ger was not joking around. He wasn't. He was a potential convert. Lo Mar B'derach Sok Shiyomadu Kala Torah B'oshu Omer Al Regal Achas Mamish. He didn't want to know on one foot. What was he saying? He said, tell me a yisod, tell me a regel, tell me a pillar that the whole Torah stands on. That's what it means, regel achas. Which, tell me a foot that all the mitzvahs stand on. I never learned ever and ever. So teach me a principle that all the other rest of the Torah comes out of. So what did he teach him? V'yahavtal recha kamocha. Says the Klei Yakar, there should be an etc. in the Pasuk. Don't just read it, V'yahavtal recha kamocha. But what does the rest of the Pasuk say? V'yahavtal recha kamocha, ani Hashem. In other words, V'yahavtal recha kamocha is the pillar of half the Torah. Bein Adam la'makom. Ani Hashem is the other foot. Bein Adam la'chaveiro. And what Hillel really told him was, he asked for one pillar, but Hillel told him the whole pasuk, maybe it's two pillars that merge into one, maybe it's one unit. The one unit that you have to understand is that Torah is broken up into two categories, and everything fits in to Ben Adam HaMakom and Ben Adam HaChaveiro. Sha'amar, the end of the paragraph, Ukshamar kana regel echad. Hainu yisod echad l'kol sug. One yisod for each type. The alkein amar lo pasuk v'yavlo recha kamocha v'al regel zeh hemel lo kamitzah shmeyadam achavero v'yamar lo gam sofa pasuk ani Hashem, which is the pillar of Ben Adam Lamako. So that's pshat. What was the question of the ger, and what Hillel's answer is, and what does it mean regel achad? So that was two ideas on v'yavlo recha kamocha. Number one, how do we do it? The Ramban with the story of the Chavetz Chaim, and number two, how do we explain the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Lamed Aleph? That was with the Klal Yakar. One final thought related to Kedoshim, to even things out, three on Achremos, three on Kedoshim. This is a thought I've mentioned in other Shiurim, and that is the Sefer HaChinuch on this week's Parsha. Sefer HaChinuch discusses the Avera of Nekama, the Avera of taking revenge, Shelo Linkom. And the obvious question is, revenge is so sweet. You know, how could we not, just like we asked, how could we do Vavzor HaChamocha, how could we not take revenge? It's so natural. Somebody bumps me, punches me in the face, I want to punch him back in the face. Right? When we ask our children, when we ask anybody, why'd you hit them? Because they hit me! It's logical. It's very logical. Well, we say, oh, don't hit them back. That's logical? No, it's logical. They do it tit for tat. So how do we, what kind of attitude must we have to try not to, to try to deal with this? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, line 10, source 15. Mishar Shia Mitzvah. What hashkafa should we have to properly do this mitzvah that we have to know? Everything that happens to a person is me'es Hashem. Umiyad ha'adam yadish achiv lo yiyad davar bilti ratzon Hashem baruch hu. From Hashem, from a man, will not come unless it's decreed by God. Everything that happens to me, people are used as pawns and tools of God to create certain situations for me, and as my nisayon to act properly in each of these situations. Al kein kishiyitzareo yachaveo adam. When a person hurts me or is mitzayir me, yeda benafsho ki avanosav garmu v'Hashem yisbarach gazru ala bakach. I know that it was meant to happen. As man is an object. Rav Meir Tursky explained, this doesn't mean that man doesn't have bechira chashis. From his point of view, Hashem's going to take him to task for punching me in the face. But from my point of view, it was meant to happen. Because in life, we are both subjects and objects. We have full bechira chashis to do what is right, and if we don't do what is right, we're going to get paid for it. But we are also objects. And when things happen to us, then we have to react to them, not to the person, because that person is just a tool from my point of view. So nekama, what do you mean nekama? I'm going to take revenge? It was meant to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him, but it was meant to happen to me. That's why nekama is total. This is a very hard attitude to have, especially b'shas ma'isa. But it's something that if we condition ourselves, hopefully we'll get there. And this is how Rabbi Tversky also explained the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, where Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers. And he says, I am Yosef, Ha'od Avichai. We spoke about our length of Parshas Vayigash. And come close to me, and I'll prove to you that I'm your brother. Pasuk Hey, in Surah 16. V'yata te'atzo v'yichar b'neichem. Don't be angry. Kim'achartem osiheina. Don't be so upset that you sold me here. Because you know what? It was meant to be. Kila michya shalach ani Elohim l'fneichem. Because it was all so we could have parnasa. There's been a famine here. There's going to be another 5 years. Hashem sent me here before you. So don't worry about it. It's okay. What did Yosef just do? Did he basically tell the brothers, that they didn't do anything wrong? He whitewashed the whole event. You didn't do anything wrong. You're tzaddikim gemurim. You were meant to sell me. So then why later in history will we punish for Mechiras Yosef? So explain Rabbi Tversky, no, Yosef was just saying why he wasn't angry or going to take nekama on them. Because as an object, it was meant to happen. It wasn't you that sold me, Kadosh Baruch Hu sold me. From your point of view, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. That's not my job. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it from your Bechira Chavshis. But just from my point of view, I'm not going to get angry or take revenge, Kimachartim Osi, because it was all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's nekama, and that's the story of Yosef. Okay, so now we're up to the half that we suggested at the beginning of the shiur. We mentioned there has to be 3.5 aliyos in each parsha. That's the halacha by 2 parshios. So we have three thoughts on each parsha. So now we have to have one thought on the haftorah, which is kind of a little bit connected to both. How is it connected to both? The usual halacha is, if you look in the Ramah in Orach Chaim, in Surah 17, when there's a double parsha, we lain the haftorah from the second parsha. That's the usual rule by double parshas. There is one exception to that rule, as there usually is, and that's the Shabbos. Ashkenazim lain the haftorah of Achrimos, not the haftorah of Kedoshim. They lain Achrimos, which is a haftorah from Sefer Amos, one of the Treyasar, Halo b'nei Kushiim, Atem li. Hashem says, you are like a Kushi to me, he calls b'nei Yisrael. Okay, that's the haftorah we read. We don't read the haftorah of Kedoshim. Why not? Why is this different? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, I didn't give you the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah explains, because the haftorah in Kedoshim is very negative about Yerushalayim. It's very negative about Yerushalayim. And there is an opinion in Maseches Megillah that you're not allowed to read a haftorah that talks about Toevos Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to read a haftorah that way. We don't paskin that way. But we try to be choshish for that shita. So if there's any other choice, we'll try to read the other one. You don't have a choice. If you have Parshas Kedoshim, which is separate, you don't have a choice. But any other choice, we will try not to read that parsha. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Answer of Soloveitchik, though, what's the matter with reading about something negative about Yerushalayim? What, every Haftorah is such great things about Klal Yisrael? Parshas Shabbos Chazon, such great things about Klal Yisrael. So what's wrong with Toevos Yerushalayim? Not all Haftorahs are happy. And also ask the Rav, is there any specific connection between the Haftorah that we do read, Halo b'nei Kushiim, and Parshas Achrimos? Explain the Rav. A Yesod in general regarding Haftorahs. What is the point of a Haftorah? What's the point of a Haftorah? It's obviously parallel to each Parsha. Maybe the olden days they only read Haftorah instead of when there was a Gzeira against Kriyas HaTorah, so they had to read that to remember the Torah. But the Rebbe also explained that the Haftorah, every Haftorah, is to give chizuk to Klal Yisrael that there's going to be a Geula. And even though you're in Galus now, there's always hope. Every Haftorah, without exception, ends on a high note. Even if the whole Haftorah is Tochacha, and there's some Necham at the end. Even Shabbos Chazon. Even Asof HaSifeim that we read on Tisha B'Av. There's always Necham at the end. We always switch tunes. We leave Eicha, we go back to the regular Haftorah tune. It's always meant to give us chizuk. And you don't have to look further than the brachas on the Haftorah. What are the brachas we say on the Haftorah? Just read them. Right? We're matzdik the din, circle olamim, tzadik v'chal adoros, hakel anem an ha'omer, v'osak ha'desh baruch hu, tzitok ha'din. And then what do we say? Ne'am anatu Hashem al-kenu, v'ne'am anem d'varecha, and everything that you say is going to come true. And then we say, rachem al-tzion gibeis chayeinu, ozav z'ashiyah, v'mer v'meinu, samchein v'elio ha'navi, machos beis dav. What are we talking about Elio ha'navi for? We don't do that by Kriyas HaTorah. We don't have special brachas by Kriyas HaTorah. Bring us Elio ha'navi. What does that do with the Haftorah? Says the Rav. No, that's the point. The point of Haftorah is to give us chizuk. And to tell us, don't worry, things are going to be better. Whether it's the Haftorahs that talk about Mashiach or the Haftorahs that don't talk about Mashiach. That's the point of a Haftorah in general, and that's why we'd rather not talk about Toevos Yerushalayim. We have to sometimes, we don't have a choice. But says the Rav, it's specifically appropriate this week. Because Parshas Achrimos is the first time in the Torah where the Torah mentions the idea of Galus. The end of Parshas Achrimos, said the Rav, or it says, V'osak yaretz yas yoshvel, the land might spit you out. It's the first time we have the idea of Galus. So specifically for Achrimos, we need to read a Haftorah that gives us chizuk. And the Haftorah from Achrimos, Halei b'nei Kushiim, if you look at it, I didn't give it to you, but it talks about going back to Eretz Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael are going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us back, and that's why that Haftorah must be read for Parshas Achrimos Kedosh. One idea from the Rav. Maybe there's a second idea, and this will finish. A second idea. And that is, as we mentioned before, these two parshas have a lot of mitzvahs in them. Not just a lot, it is the most mitzvos that is possible to read on one day of the year. The close second is Parshas Ki Tzeitse. Parshas Ki Tzeitse has 74 mitzvos. These two together have 79. Kedoshim doesn't have, Mishpatim is not close. Re'eh is not right. Nobody has that close. 74 is Kiseitzei. That's the next. That's the single largest parsha of mitzvos. But Achrimas Kadoshim together is 79. So these parshios, this kriya that we read, is all about our mitzvos. And after all, that's what makes us unique. What makes us unique as Am Yisrael is our mitzvos. That's what's going to bring us to Geula, as the Rav talked about. Says the Malbim in Amos. In Source 18, what's the first pasuk of the Haftorah? Halo mi bnei kush, ki bnei kushim atemli. Hashem says, you Jews, you're like a kushi to me. A kushi? A black person? What does that mean? We're like a kushi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Malbim. This is a nechama. What's the nechama? Second line. Atem miyuchadim li kibnei kushiyim shehem mitsuyanim v'nikarim tamid u'miyuchadim la'avoseim al yidei shachris oram. Just like you could pick them out in a crowd, because of their physical makeup, so too you could pick a Jew out in a crowd because of their spiritual makeup. Shahagam sheyiglu v'yisarvu bein amim acherim bal yisarvu imahim. Even though they're going to be mitarev in others, they will not be mitarev totally. Kein atem agam shetiglu v'tetarvu. Don't even though you're going into galus, but still you're going to remain my people. Kibnei kushiyim atemli. And maybe that's the connection to the parsha. The parsha is more mitzvah than any other parsha. That's what makes us unique. That's what makes us special. When we keep the mitzvahs and we keep this uniqueness, then we stand out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not like the next pasuk in the Haftorah says, I took the plishtim from Kaftor and Aram from Kir. Where are the plishtim, explains the Malbim? Where are all the other nations that I exiled to a different land? They're not around anymore. They don't have that uniqueness. They're not Kibnei Kushim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're the only one. We're Bnei Kushim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Netziv says the same idea in Parshas Balak, where he explains Am Levadad Yishkon in the words of Bilam. We are unique, and what keeps us unique are all the mitzvahs that we have. So let us appreciate these parshas that we have more than any other Shabbos. We read more mitzvahs this Shabbos, right? 79. Let us make sure we learn the messages of them, those that we spoke about, those that we didn't speak about. But Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to read that and Haftorah for Parshas Achrimus.